people. Tell them it's good to see you this morning. Oh, you sound good. And you can be seated. I want to encourage everyone to keep in prayer all the people whose lives have been touched by the tornadoes here in Mississippi as well in Alabama. We're going to do our part to help them with natural things. But how many of you know prayer works? Amen. It makes a difference when you pray for people. In fact, I was telling first service, I think it was Friday, I was just searching the internet for top health tips. I think that's what I Googled. And I came up with this site by Harvard, their medical school, and it was going over natural things that you could do to improve your health. It was talking about things like eat blueberries, and garlic, and folic acid, all of these different things. And right in the middle of that, it had in there prayer. Thought this was very interesting. They ran a study, and they found that people who were prayed for recovered faster than those who weren't, even if the people didn't know they were being prayed for. Isn't that interesting? I don't know how they tested that or what tests they ran, but I assume they just had people pray for people who weren't well physically. And even people who didn't know they were being prayed for recovered better than those who weren't prayed for at all. And so there are people in Alabama and other parts of Mississippi and other parts of the South whose lives have been touched by this weather and these tornadoes. And you may have never met them, and they may have never met you, but you can still pray for them and pray that God will help them and restore them and heal up their hurting hearts and restore all that the enemy stole. And I just know and believe that we don't need a test from Harvard to figure it out, but it's nice to know they see it too. Prayer works. It changes things. Amen. So let's keep these people in our prayers. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis, if you don't have a Bible and you would like a Bible, we'd love to give you a Bible. So you can lift up your hand and our ushers, these good-looking fellas, they're going to stand up in the aisles and give you a Bible if you lift up your hand. If you don't have a Bible at all, that Bible is now yours to keep. I tell you what, we love giving away free stuff here at Word of Life, especially Bibles and books and things that are going to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. Open your Bibles up to the book of Genesis, and we're going to look at chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, I'm starting a new series. I don't know if it's going to be a Sunday morning series or if I'll teach it today and then pick up with this on Wednesday night. We'll see. It's either going to be one or the other, I'm sure. But I do know it is a series that I have on my heart. Now, next Sunday is Mother's Day, so don't forget it. Put it on your calendar. You may forget, but I promise you the people it matters to won't forget. And so put it on your calendar. Next Sunday is Mother's Day. And so I've got a Mother's Day message already prepped and planned. It's cute. I mean, it's going to make you smile, all of those things. We'll see, though. We'll see whatever the Lord wants. But either way, we're going to keep preaching on this either on Sundays or on Wednesdays. I want to talk to you this morning about walking with God. My father bought this property years ago. In 1997, we paid off our facility that's over on Highway 18. We paid it off. And my father was out driving one day and was looking for a potential new place to build a new sanctuary, new worship facility. And over the process of time, he came up to this piece of property. And to make a long story short, he bought it. Felt led to buy it. And if you'd asked him, why did you buy that property? I think we bought it 98, 99. It was before Dogwood was there, before Walmart was here. Any of those things. I mean, it looked like it was out in the middle of nowhere. If you'd asked him, why are you buying that property? I guarantee you he would have told you, and he wouldn't have been shy about it, that he heard from God to buy it. God told him to. Now, for those of us who maybe are familiar with sayings like that, that's enough. That makes sense. Well, God told him to. Why wouldn't you do it? If God's telling you to, do it. But there are other people who, when they hear that, They look at someone else and say, that man thinks he's hearing from God. Make them kind of wonder about the fella. Then there'd be other people who may take it a step farther and say, well, you know, he hears from God. He's a pastor. But if you ask them, can you hear from God? They may not know. So that's my question this morning to you. Can you hear from God? If you could, how would it help you in life? What advantage would it give you if you could hear from God? I know as a boy, I heard my father preach about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, hearing from the Lord, those types of things. And just even as a little kid, I mean a little kid, it just made sense to me that if I could hear from God, I'd have it made. I mean, if you could hear from God on what job to take, hear from God on who to marry, hear from God on where to go to school, hear from God on what college to go to, hear from God on those things, and those things would bound to be destined to work out okay. So I began to study, even as a little boy, fascinated by the subject, is can we as Christians not only talk to God, but have God actually talk to us? And if he could, what difference would it make in our life? I'll tell you this, a big difference. A big difference. In Genesis chapter 5, we'll read here in verse 21. Genesis 5 and verse 21. It said, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat that fella. And Enoch walked with God. Notice this, Enoch walked with God after he begot that fella 300 years and begat sons and daughters. It would have been easier if he would have not named that guy first and just said he begot a son. And all the days of Enoch, verse 23, were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. I love my wife. I mean, she is amazing. Amazing. I mean, she's just perfect for me in every way. She makes, I told first service, my liver quiver. I mean, I love her with my heart, kidney, everything, every part of me. She's wonderful. She's God's fit for me. God's best for me. And there are many things that we enjoy doing. We have hobbies and things like that. She likes to watch baseball. I'm a blessed man. So we watch the Red Sox play. But one of my favorite things to do is to go on a walk with her. And you know, in life, I'm sure it's like this in your life, things just get busy. There's a lot of distractions. So you got TVs that are loud, you got radios that are loud, you got people that are loud. You got cell phones ringing when people call, beeping when someone text messages you, buzzing when you get an email. And if you're not careful as a couple, those things can rob your fellowship. Just so much loudness, so busy, just running around that those things can rob your fellowship. And so one of the things that I enjoy doing with my wife is taking a walk with her. Just going on a walk. And I tell you, it's just, you know, you leave all those other things behind. You know, there's no TV. And, you know, when you're walking with someone, you don't listen to headphones or radio or any of those types of things. And just seems like when it's me and her walking, that our level of fellowship just grows deeper, richer. The subject matter, it's not surface type stuff anymore. But we're talking about things. Really, I'll put it to you this way. We're sharing life together. How we feel about things, where we're going in life, what we're doing. Just seems like when we're on those walks, our level of fellowship just gets richer. Enoch walked with God. And what this means, Enoch walked with God, it's not just talking about they took a walk together. What this is referring to, if you look up this word walked in the Hebrew, It means they're sharing together. Enoch is talking to God. Now, we know we can do that. We can pray. We can talk to God. But it's not just Enoch is having a monologue, a one-way conversation with God where he's doing all the talking. What this scripture means is God's talking to Enoch. They're sharing life together. In fact, you can see this in the Amplified, if you can put that up. Genesis 5 and verse 24 or 22 in the Amplified. It says, and Enoch walked, notice this, in habitual fellowship with God after the birth of that fellow, Methuselah, 300 years and other sons and daughters. But notice, Enoch walked in habitual fellowship. I mean, this is not just something Enoch's doing every once in a while. Enoch's not just talking with God every other month. Enoch is having close fellowship with God on a habitual basis. It's a habit. It's a habit for Enoch to talk to God and for God to talk to Enoch. A habit. Could it be possible for a man, for you, for I, to walk with God on a level like that? To have habitual fellowship with the Lord? To come into a place where you know not only His voice and He's knowing yours, but it's a constant ongoing thing. Is it possible? Well, it's got to be. Because you see all throughout the Bible, not just Enoch, but if you read your Bible at all, I mean at all, even if you're a rookie, if we gave you a Bible last week and you open it up and you read it, you see God talking to people. Let's just look here in Genesis 2. I'll just show you a couple of examples. Genesis 2. I'm asking this morning, is it possible for you to walk with God? To hear from God. Is it possible? Genesis 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat. Now question, was God talking to man? Yes. Did man hear from God? Yes, he did. And that's how he knew he sinned. Okay, so we see God talking to Adam there. Now go down to Genesis 3 and verse 8. Genesis 3 and verse 8, and it said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God. Notice this. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They being Adam and Eve. They're hearing from God. You see in Genesis 3 and verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman. He's talking to men. He's talking to women. And they're hearing from him. Okay, go over to Genesis 4. Genesis 4, and look here in verse 6. Well, somebody said, that's Adam and Eve. Of course God would talk to Adam and Eve. He wouldn't have anyone else to talk to, and neither would they. All right, we'll go over to Genesis 4 and verse 6. Here you got a guy named Cain, and Cain's mad. He's mad. He's mad at his brother, and he's mad at God. And he's actually deciding in his heart to kill his brother. Notice what happens here. Genesis 4 and verse 6. And the Lord God said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? He's talking to a man who's mad. He's about to commit murder. You go on and you can see God talks to Noah on a repeated basis. Reveals to him his plan for his life. Tells him to build an ark. You can see God talking to Abraham. You can see God talking to Isaac. You can see God talking to Rebekah. You can see God talking to Sarah. That's just in Genesis. Go over to Exodus. You can see God talking to Pharaoh. You can see God talking to Aaron. You can see God talking to Moses. I could take you through almost every book of the Bible and show you where God is talking and people are hearing. What about you? Can you hear from God? You better be able to. I'll tell you that much. You'll see why at the end of this message. Can you hear from God? And if so, could you actually walk with Him? To where it wasn't just a roundabout happenstance thing, but you actually walk in close fellowship with the Lord. Think about when Jesus came on this earth, how awesome that would be to be around Him. To know that this was God made manifest in the flesh. to see the awesome works done by his hand, to hear the amazing wisdom that came out of his mouth. Jesus picked 12 men, disciples, and told them to follow him. And the revelation that they got that this was not just a man, but this was the Son of God, it fascinated them. You can see this in 1 John, wonderful book of the Bible, one of my favorites. 1 John, where John starts off talking about having handled the word of life, touching God. He was cognizant. He was aware of the fact that God was with them in the flesh there in Jesus. And they heard from him and they touched him. And how amazing that must have been. Well, these men left all to follow Jesus. And Jesus finally comes to them and tells them, boys, it's been great, but I'm leaving. They said, okay, where are you going? He said, I'm leaving. Okay, well, we'll come with you. And he said, no, you can't come with me. Where I go, you can't come. Not right now, at least. And when he's telling them this, they get afraid, they get scared, and go through all different types of emotions. What are we going to do? We're making our decisions based off what this man is telling us. And so their hearts are disturbed. In fact, let's go over here and look at it. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. You see them dealing with this here. Now, let me say this. I try as much as I can, especially when preaching something that some people may not be sure of, to give as much scripture as possible. It seems to me that in today's churches, there's a whole lot of opinion going on. And I trust that you don't want my opinion. You want what God is saying. Church was designed by God to teach people the Bible, not to teach people religion or opinions. And so whenever you hear anyone preaching, always ask yourself one question. Where's the evidence? Is there evidence? And if they can show you evidence through the Word of God, then you need to pay attention. But if not, you need to immediately go back and search out through the Scriptures whether or not the things that they are saying is truth. So don't just trust me because I'm good looking. That's what I'm getting at. Don't just trust me. Study out to see whether or not the things I'm saying to you is truth. If it's not truth, throw it away. If it is truth, we need to pay attention to it. And here in John chapter 13, we see Jesus saying this to his disciples, verse 36. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus answered and said, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And so Jesus is having these types of discussions with his disciples, and their hearts are troubled. And so he starts off teaching them. He's going to teach them for several chapters in a row here. John 14, 15, and 16 are some of the most important words in all of the Bible. If I knew that my time of departure was at hand, that I knew that this may be the last time that I would maybe speak to you, and I was cognizant of that, aware of that, I would try to say the things to you that would be most needful for you to remember. And Jesus here, he knows he's going to the cross. He's aware of the fact that he's about to die for their sins and transgressions. He's not going to see him that much longer. And so in John 14, 15, and 16, he's relaying unto them some of his final words. And I think that Jesus was aware that the words that he was saying were words that he really wanted them to know and understand. And so he starts telling them things in John 14, 15, and 16, chapters you all should be very familiar with. Things at first to encourage and strengthen their heart. He starts talking to them about heaven. He starts talking to them about love for each other. And then he reveals to them someone who's going to come alongside them. And this revelation that he's giving to them is huge. Watch what he says here in John 14. On the screens, you can stay in the Amplified. John 14. And let's look in verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. He says, "And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever." God said, I'm going to pray. Jesus is speaking. He said, I'm going to pray. I'm going to tell the Father to give you another comforter. Now, when he said this word comforter, it meant something different to them than it does us. The Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek. Old Testament written in Hebrew, New Testament written in Greek. And when he said this word comforter, it meant a lot to them. Now, I love the Amplified Bible because the Amplified is a good translation because it'll take the words that are written in the King James and amplify them with the definitions of what these words mean. Basically, you know, like today, if we said, that's sweet. Well, we may be saying that that's a good-looking car, but if you had said that 40 years ago, they would think that's a good piece of candy. You know, so words change. The definitions of words change. So when you think comforter, you may be thinking something entirely different than what they thought. And when they heard this word comforter, the Amplified brings out what they heard. John 14 and verse 16, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter." This is what this word comforter means. A counselor, a helper, a intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and standby, that he may abide with you forever. Now, question. Counselor. If you came in for pastoral counseling with me, we sat down for counseling, and I sat down there and never said anything to you, did you get counsel? No. There's got to be a sharing for counseling. And Jesus is saying, just as I have counseled you, I'm going to give you another comforter. Just as I've strengthened you, I'm going to give you another strengthener. Just as I've prayed for you, I'm going to give you another intercessor. Just as I've advocated for you and stood by you, I'm going to give you another standby, another advocate. I'm going to give you another counselor. And this other counselor he's talking about, he makes mention of and expands in the next verse, verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now go down to verse 26. He keeps talking about this comforter. And watch what he says here in verse 26. He said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Who's this other comforter? It is the Holy Ghost. Who is this other counselor? It's the Holy Ghost. Who's the strengthener? It's the Holy Ghost. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, watch what he will do. He will, who's talking here? This is Jesus. How do we know? They made it easy for us. They put the words in red. Jesus is talking here, and he is saying the Holy Spirit's going to do some things for you. He's going to do some things for you. And he says, number one, he is going to teach you all things. Can someone teach you without talking to you? He will teach you all things. Number two, he will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we see, first off, a twofold ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring to your remembrance the things that you've heard. Jesus keeps talking about this wonderful ministry of the Comforter all the way over into chapter 16. Let's go over here and look at this. In chapter 16, and watch what he tells them in verse 7. Verse 7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Watch this in the Amplified. He says, however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, and advantageous for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, and Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you, but if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. I'm going to be crucified for you. I'm going to die and rise again from the grave for you, and then I'm gone. I'm going to heaven. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your counselor. He's going to be your strengthener. He's going to be your advocate. In fact, I'm sending him to be in close fellowship with you. He will teach you all things. He will bring to your remembrance the things that you've heard. But not just that, he goes on to say in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Watch this in the Amplified. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth, the whole full truth. He will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. God sent the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, your counselor, to teach you all things, to bring to your remembrance the things that you've heard, to guide you in life, and to show you things to come. This ministry of the Holy Spirit is available to every single person who's called upon the name of the Lord. If you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, he's given you his Holy Spirit to be a guide in life, a counselor in life. He designed him to help you walk with God. And I'm telling you, friends, you and I have to learn how to do this. We've got to learn how to walk with the Lord. It's not optional. It is mandatory. We've got to learn how. Why? Why is it so important? Well, you know, I'd like to hear from God, but is it really that important? Yes. Let me tell you why. Hebrews chapter 12. Evidence. Hebrews chapter 12, and look at verse 1. This scripture has been on my heart for weeks now. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. And if on the screens, you can pull up Romans 11 and verse 29. Romans 11 and verse 29. We're going to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Notice this in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us. Watch this. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice this in your Bible. The race that is set before us. Paul wrote and said, I've finished my course. I've run my race. You run the race that God has set before you. Friends, God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you. You didn't just get here by accident. You're not a result of a former life. You're not an accident. God planned everything. He planned you. He planned your destiny. There's a place you should live. There's a place you should work. There's people you should be around. He set those things up for your life. And the reason why so many people are miserable, and I use that word on purpose, is because they're not running God's set race, the race He set for them. Some of them are running the race their mama set for them. Some of them are running the race that friends set up for them. But the majority of people are running the race they want to run. And they get involved in things that they shouldn't be involved in, that go opposite the plan of God. And they never get into what God has for them because they never ran the set race. Romans talks about how there's a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for you. There is a perfect will of God for you. And in that place, friends, there is satisfaction. I'm talking about in your heart, there is no nagging. You're not looking around saying life should be more than this. When you're in the plan of God, there is a fullness of heart. Your heart knows it. Why? Romans 11 and verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Meaning the call that God has for your life, it's never going to change. I'll close with this. I heard a story of a minister who years ago was a very prominent minister. And he was married, and things didn't work out well between him and his wife, and they got a divorce. Well, in the denomination he was in, they said, you can't no longer be a pastor. And it was really his wife didn't want to have anything to do with ministry, so she left him. That was the cause of the divorce. But they came and said, you're disqualified because of this. This was years ago. And this man, he was a very smart man and had the capabilities to be a success even in the natural. And he went out and started a business, got remarried. And the business was very, very successful. But for years, all during this time, there was a nagging at his heart. And he didn't know what it was. He thought he couldn't be in ministry anymore. He thought he was disqualified. But a nagging at his heart. And another minister one night was praying. And while he was praying, the Lord put on his heart to call this minister and to give him this scripture in Romans. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Meaning God is never going to take away that call. God's never going to take away that purpose. He set a plan for that man's life. And so he called him and told him that scripture. And it got silent on the other end of the phone. You could hear the man weeping. And he said, I always knew God had that plan for me. And you're telling me I can get back in it? You're telling me that the gift is without repentance? He said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. He said, it's not me telling you that, it's God telling you that. I like what Paul said in the book of Timothy. He said that God forgave me the worst of sinners to set a pattern. A pattern of things to come. What's he saying? Even in that sin, the call for Paul's life never changed. And all throughout Paul's life, he kicked against the pricks. There was something on the inside that said life should be different than this. This is not right. Something on the inside he just knew wasn't right. God said it was called pricks. Paul was kicking against them. What was he doing? He was running his race. Not the race the Lord set up for him. But even in the middle of that, Paul finally got over into the call and wound up finishing the race God had for him. Friends, there's a set race for you. I mean a set race destined by God for you. And the only way you're ever going to get into it is to know how to walk with God. Your mama can't tell you. Your daddy can't tell you. I can't tell you unless they're talking by God, which we'll see later if you keep coming on Wednesdays and whatnot. You'll see how God can speak to you through people. But the only way you will ever get into that plan, get rid of that nagging, is to learn how to walk with God. In your walk with God, the plan of God is revealed. The purposes of God are known. and you see the things, the steps you need to take. Is it possible? You better believe it is. We saw it with Enoch. We saw it with Noah. We saw it with Adam. We saw it through all those different examples. And we saw Jesus say, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you a counselor. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to bring things to your remembrance. He's going to show you things to come. Romans 8 and 14 says that the sons of God should be led by the Spirit of God. You can look it up, Romans 8 and 14. You are a child of God, and that means God wants to lead you into His perfect will for your life. What we're going to do in teaching on this, whether it's next Sunday or this Wednesday, we're going to keep teaching. And by the end of this teaching, you're going to see how to walk with God. You're going to know God's voice. Jesus said, not me, Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. We can know the voice of God. You can recognize His voice. You can understand it, and you can walk in God's plan. And I'm telling you what, at the end of it, we're all going to know how to walk with God. And as you're walking with God, you're going to see life unfold for you in a way that you have never seen before. You're going to get over into that set race. And friends, in that set race, life flourishes. It becomes full and rich, and on the inside, you get satisfied. There's a richness there, a peace that can't be matched with any other thing. We're going to show you how. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, so excited to have you here with us. So glad you were able to come. We pray you're able to come back again.